Today on Real Radio.
Mark this down if you care about it. The word holy or holiness appears 654 times in the Bible. And the first time that the word appears is when Moses meets the Lord atop Mount Sinai. We all know that amazing encounter.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Now, if you ask different people that question, you're going to get a variety of answers. Usually, it includes some kind of what's called works righteousness. In other words, it involves man trying to reach God instead of the other way around. And this stems from a fundamental misunderstanding of the gospel. The true believer comes to the understanding that shunning sin is the result of salvation, not the cause. But he knows this because it's revealed in Scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
So now we come to the second point of our study, and it is this. Jot it down if you would. How do we get from here to heaven? Awakening to the greatest of needs. I want you to mark these down. Awakening to the greatest of needs. Now, I want to read this. I wrote it down. I don't want to mess it up because I messed it up myself. When a man in this world is lost, without Christ in this world, lost. We say in Christianese, he's lost. What are we talking about? The man does not have God. The woman does not have God in their lives. So they're lost in this world. They're without God. How lost can that person be? How do we know? This is the most dangerous thing of all. When a person is lost on a journey and they don't know they're lost, that is the worst case of being lost that there could possibly be. Do you understand that? A person who's lost and they know they're lost is not so lost. They are, as the Lord said, nigh unto the kingdom of God. They're getting closer. They're starting to think. They're starting to wonder. There's an awakening taking place in their lives. But a person who is thoroughly lost is cruising on in life, and you ask them, are you lost? What, are you crazy? Of course I'm not lost. I know exactly where I'm going. And they're going right off a cliff in life. And the world is full of people living like that. And I don't know about you, but I used to live life like that. And then all of a sudden, things began to stir in your heart. It could be through events. It could be through an accident or an injury. It could be through a series of things that take place. But you begin to think. You might even have a dream. And in your dream, you know, you were murdered or almost murdered, or a lion was chasing you, or the plane was crashing, and you wake up and you wonder for a moment, what would have become of me if I would have died? And you begin to awaken to thoughts, radical thoughts, strange thoughts. I had a man in my office not too long ago, and he said, I've been coming to this church. My wife asked me to come. I'm in a certain cult, but I come here because my wife wants to come here. And ever since I've been coming here, I've been stirred up. I've been thinking. I can't function all that well without thinking about God and wondering. And now I'm reading the Bible all the time. And I think I'm hearing this about God and salvation. And the guy was right on the money. And I'm sitting there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was fun. I did nothing. I just listened to him. And he's bearing his heart. And he got done, and he said, so what do you think? I said, I think I'm not going to say anything. He said, why? I said, because God is so speaking to you, I don't want to get in the middle of that. God is all over you. And he was great. He said, my wife said you'd say something like that. Could I have bent his arm? Could I have said, come on, man, let's get on our knees now and accept Christ. Let's go for it now. You know what? I saw it was so evident God is reeling this young man in. God's reeling him in. That's the awesome thing about our Christianity and our Christ. You don't have to join some club. You don't have to be a card-carrying member of it all. When God begins to work and draw his people, he begins to reel them in. We get to watch. We get to somehow help him. But he does the work in your life and in my life. It's interesting to realize and to think that a man who thinks he's just okay. Wasn't there a song years ago, "Jesus is just all right with me"? What a horrible song. Jesus is just all right with me. When a man is just okay, that man is far from the kingdom of God. Yeah, you know, whatever. Some people see like, well, you know, God would probably do good for him if I came into his kingdom, I guess. That person's far from God. And then there's us. There's us who have come to know Jesus. We thought we were fine. Then our hearts began to get stirred up and we realized we need God. And then we found out how to come to God. And the Bible announces that we come to God through Jesus Christ and we accept Jesus Christ. And isn't it funny? We thought we were okay, like the man who, well, we thought we were fine. Then we thought we were okay. God began to convict us. Then we began to realize I ain't so okay. Then we begin to realize I'm really lost. And then we come to realize we fall on our knees. Oh, Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me, Lord. And that's the beautiful thing about this Christianity, that you and I, on our way to heaven with absolute confidence and assurance, and yet at the same time, it's a contradiction. At the same time, we know how unworthy we are. Don't we know that? Don't we realize that? We know how we should be the last one in heaven. Oh, it's not that we go around and sin up a storm. Not anymore. We used to. Not anymore. Now we see the grossness of our own thought life. And we are the ones now in the street corner beating our chest and saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord looks down and he smiles. And a woman can be standing on the street corner of her emotion saying, oh, Lord, I've lost my virginity. Be merciful to me. A young man can be standing on the street corner saying, oh, God, I've just been such a violent young man and an angry and a hateful young man. Be merciful to me. And the Lord is swift to bring forgiveness and life. He loves that. He brings life. An awakening begins to take place. And that's an awesome thing. The Bible says in 1 John 3:19, mark it if you would, by this we shall come to know. The word is perceive, recognize, and understand that we are of the truth. Christian, how do you know that you're of the truth? It goes on to say, and can reassure or quiet or console or pacify our hearts in his presence. Whenever our hearts, listen to this, it's from the Amplified Bible. Whenever our hearts accuse us, cause us to feel guilty, when our hearts condemn us by our thoughts and our conscience, God is above and greater than our own conscience and our hearts. And he knows everything. He perceives all. He understands all. Everything that's gone on in our lives and what we're thinking about, even those hidden things. And listen, God is greater than our hearts. When our hearts condemn us as a believer, God is greater than our hearts. What do you think tonight? How do you feel? Have you accepted Christ? Do you know what that means? Have you come to that place of birth, of being born again, when you thought you couldn't get saved, and then you find out I can get saved by trusting in Christ? And the moment you trust Christ, I'm kind of speaking about myself here 30 years ago or more. I heard the good news. I accepted Jesus Christ, and I thought, okay, from all my life till now, Jesus died for my sins and saved me, but now that I'm his, I've got to live a perfect life. By the way, there's a lot of cults like that. Yeah, he'll forgive you of your sins up until today, but from this moment on, you got to work the rest of the way. And I had never heard that before, but I think just the way that I was brought up, I gravitated to a works-based salvation, I guess. And I worried all the time, thought, you know, Jesus doesn't love me today. And man, let me tell you, that is a horrible way to live. If tonight you are sitting here tonight and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead and you are putting your trust in him, but you have a tendency to walk over from time to time and pick up your own efforts and try to do it on your own, you are miserable from day in to day out. You have a good day and you're right on with God and you feel like praying and you feel like witnessing, and then you blow it and the next day you are a basket case. That is not biblical Christianity. Listen, not, you expect me to tell you that God loves you. You expect that. It says it in the Bible, God loves me. We sang it maybe, Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, you know what? Sometimes that doesn't carry the punch that it ought. How many of you have family members living near or around you? Raise your hand. You have family members living near and around you? Wow, some of you have escaped from family members, and you're here. You're free. Well, if you have family members living near and around you, you got to love them. Do you have any ice cream we can borrow? Yeah, take it. I mean, you have to love them. They're your family. You have a kid? You have any kids? You got to love them. They're your kids. But you know what? Jesus likes you. That's a whole different thing. You may have a kid and you have to love them, but do you like your kid? Huh? It's kind of cool to like your kid. Well, not only am I a kid, I like you. I like you being my kid. Hey, that's a big plus. You love people, you got to be with them. If you like them, you like to hang out with them. God wants to be with you. He likes you. It's amazing to me. Now listen, mark this down. Awakening to the greatest of needs. Number one is this, that there is something missing. There's something missing without Christ and without God in your life. Because this is such a great and painful truth in our lives. As human beings, we go through all kinds of great effort and expense to fill that void in our lives because something's missing. There's a displacement that comes about in the human race because we are born into this world alienated from God, the Bible says. Now watch this. There's something missing. You might know about God, but why is there not a connection? Why is there not a unity that you can sense? Well, mark this down if you care about it. The word holy or holiness appears 654 times in the Bible. And the first time that the word appears is when Moses meets the Lord atop Mount Sinai. We all know that amazing encounter. It's awesome. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, then the Lord said to Moses, do not draw near to this place. Take off the sandals from off your feet, for the place where you stand, Moses, is holy ground. Now, I want you to mark that down. Are you guys awake? Yes. Holy ground. If ground can be holy, I want to encourage you. So can you. Amen. God says, this is holy ground. Wait a minute. It's dirt. God says, it's holy ground. Wait a minute. Aren't the basic 14 elements that comprise this earth of dirt the same elements found in you and I?
You're dirty.
Yes, I am. All 14 basic elements. We're all made out of dirt. We're dirt clods. Adam was made out of dirt. And God says, Moses, take off your sandals, for the place you stand is holy ground. And I love that thought for a moment. I love that thought. What made that ground so holy that Moses was to take his shoes off? Was it that it was dirt? Was it that is a mountain? What was it? It was the proximity of the Lord, wasn't it? The Lord was there. The Lord was there. If you're a Christian tonight, the Lord is in your heart. The Lord is in your life. If Moses would have picked up that dirt, can you imagine? This is something that we all would have done in our part of the world. Pick it up. Put some in your pocket. Sell it. It's holy, man. Can you imagine if Moses would have picked up that dirt and put it in his mouth and tasted it, it would have tasted just like dirt because it was dirt. If the Lord would have been there or not, church, would it have tasted the same? It would have tasted the same. Would it have looked the same? It would have looked the same. But because of the proximity of the Lord, it was holy. And God told Moses, take your sandals off. It's holy ground, meaning it's sanctified ground. This ground's been set aside, Moses, for me. And if you're going to stand here, you're going to take those sandals off, and you're going to appreciate this fact. And I find that very, very comforting. Wherever God is encountered, that place becomes holy. You know that in your own life. Did you accept Jesus Christ in a hotel room watching a Billy Graham crusade or reading a Gideon Bible? Huh? Where did you accept Christ? Was it at the beach? Was it at a Greg Laurie crusade? Or where was it for you? Wherever that moment took place, that moment in time, wherever that place was, that geographical moment. By the way, Joshua crossed over from Jordan, across the Jordan River, over to Gilgal, into the promised land, and he built an altar of 12 stones and repeatedly went back during the course of his life to visit that spot. Why that spot? Was it because the dirt was really good tasting in that spot? No. It's because that's where he encountered the Lord. And that made it holy. And tonight, as a believer, you need to be able to say, I know where I encountered God. And what I love about the Lord, as you do as well, is that when the Lord is missing in our lives, we don't really know it exactly until there's an awakening taking place in our hearts and our lives. And then when that begins to happen, and he meets us, the void is filled. The void that we tried to fill with things of this world. Oh, come on, you guys know this. And if you're young here tonight, listen to this. I understand that a person would just, maybe because of peer pressure, go ahead, hey, take a hit of this, or draw a line of this, or just drop this pill. Try this. Or it's such a total rush. Come with us, and we're going to do this thing. I understand your hunger for the rush. But do you understand something? That when the rush is over, you will be unfulfilled. I promise you. You will say, man, wasn't that great? And if you're honest, you'll say, for the moment. Doesn't the Bible say that sin is pleasurable for a moment? Oh, wasn't that something? Sure, it was something for a moment. And then what do? You do that a few times, and it's not enough. So then you have a powwow with your friends and figure out how can we make it more exciting? How can we do a little bit more of that drug or a little bit more of that sex or a little bit more of that issue or that thing? Did you know that people are medically treated who have graduated through thrill-seeking type things to where their adrenal gland is no longer functioning properly any longer? They have jumped off of bridges with bungee cords so many times that they can't get excited about anything anymore. And there's, listen, I'm not making it up. They walk around life so depressed until they go to the next thing. You say, what's wrong with jumping off of buildings with bungee cords? I guess nothing. If you're into that, but if you do it to meet a need, the need will only be met for a moment because there's a void in your life. That's why sexual perversion is what it is today in the world today. It goes from normal, the way God ordained it, beautiful, awesome, powerful, spiritual, and it begins to be tweaked, begins to be abused, begins to go goofy. Strange, weird, twisted, violent, fatal. And it's an epidemic in the world. A great thing given by God, prostituted and destroyed by Satan. All because something's missing. And the world goes around trying to meet that void. And I want to tell you right now, I'm not preaching religion right now. I'm telling you the facts. You want to be high for the rest of your life? Meet Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now. Huey Lewis used to sing that song, I want a new drug, one that won't make me sick. I remember when that song came out, driving down the 405 freeway, I would yell in my Volkswagen, Huey, you need Jesus. Huey Lewis needed Jesus. Well, Huey Lewis needs Jesus. You need Jesus tonight. The place where you're sitting can become holy ground right where you're at tonight. The Bible says in Exodus 33:18, and Moses said to the Lord, please show me your glory. Isn't that awesome? Show me your glory. Why did Moses say that? I want to argue this because something was missing in Moses' life. Moses got a glimpse of what God can be like in his life, and Moses says to God, God, show me your glory. What a great request. Don't you think that, I mean this in a good way, don't you think that flattered God? What an amazing thing. God, show me your glory. I think the Lord wants us to tonight in our hearts say, God, show me your glory. I'm praying a prayer. Lord, if you have to, unplug our TV sets. Blow them up. There is an electromagnetic pulse bomb threat in America. It could happen at any time we hear about. Bring it on. What happens if it, well, you can't listen to anything electronic. Can't watch anything electronic. Everything electronic will fry. You know that would be a blessing from God Almighty. Can you imagine? What are you going to do? Read your Bible. Can you imagine? All that stuff was to go away. We'd say, God, show us your glory, because right now we have so many things that tickle us. Oh, man, that's awesome. What was? That video game. And then we go to church. Oh, is church over yet? We are overstimulated people, man. But how long does that last? Moses said, you know what? I don't want a gold-trimmed donkey, man. I don't want a ski boat on the Nile. God, show me your glory. That's what he wanted. Then the Lord said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And Buddy said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place. I love this. Moses, I love your request, but dude, you're a human made out of dirt. And I'm not a human. I'm eternal. And let me see how I can accommodate your request. Oh, I got it. Watch what it says. This is my translation. I want you to follow along. This is Exodus 33, verse 21. The Lord says, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. This is the cutest thing ever. God takes Moses and says, okay, here's the deal.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a topical lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? In fact, that's the title of this series we're bringing your way here on Real Radio, and that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, tonight you can catch our television program. We hope you'll do that, because we really think you're going to like it. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There's Monday evenings at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Sit down at the computer and just type in hischannel.com. Now, our program features Pastor Jack dealing with a whole bunch of topics, things that are in the news, and how to see them with a scriptural worldview, domestic policies, what's happening here in the U.S., and how the believer is to handle those things biblically, international developments around the world, including the persecuted church, Israel, and Islam. And, of course, topical studies from the Scripture and a whole lot more. Now, sometimes you'll see Pastor Jack giving a study. Other times you'll see him interviewing a special guest. It's a great program. Pastor Jack invites you and your friends to watch Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just visit hischannel.com Monday nights at 7 o'clock and then click on Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if for some reason you're unable to catch Real Life with Jack Hibbs at its normally scheduled time, that's the beauty of hischannel.com. Just click on Video On Demand right there at the top of the page and watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.